This is United We Strike Radio on the International Community Radio Network. Don't buy, don't comply, ask why. UnitedWeStrike.com Radio.
That's right. This is United We Strike. We are finishing up the marathon now. We've been going since 5 o'clock in the morning Pacific time until now, and I want to do a special shout out to the folks, including C. Gypsy, who are in Charlie McGrath's room now, the chat room at Wide Awake Chat, and also to everyone whose efforts come together to make this marathon happen. And it is a collective work, folks. It is because we care about freedom and we care about each other. We care about our world and we know that silence is compliance. So this is a way of being vocal. And on the wrap up, we have time for the people who have joined us throughout the day to be able to add any final thoughts, their websites, and any other words of encouragement. So right now, I want to say, Ingrid, thank you again so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Karen. And I really appreciate you doing this because I certainly, the issue is exploding now in our face. I'm so happy for Clint Richardson putting out his really well put together but shocking documentary, Lethal Injection, because he brought up a lot of information that most of us have actually not been aware of. So, I want everyone to understand that one of the most important things you can do is what we called a while back, the Observer, is the Committee to Safety. It's really, you need to network your neighborhoods and your counties and your cities, and people need to actually meet publicly, face-to-face, and need to be able to share this information with them. I'm actually, believe it or not, I am the precinct committee woman for our precinct here with the Republican Party. Well, I am not necessarily a diehard Republican at all. We live in a Republican primarily state, you know, and following the Ron Paul lead, many of us realize that unless we actually got involved locally, politically, we would not have a voice. And we just formed a property rights commission we have two commissioners out of three that are one of us. And we're already having the dogs after us. I mean, we are already feeling the heat, but I'm on a first name basis with many of my legislators. They know about the vaccine issue. They are really clear that I'm watching them every time they vote. And so it's important that you get involved on some level. People also know in this whole area that I'm available for any kind of meeting, you know, and this is all volunteer. I have a template for anyone that wants to do support group meetings. It's very easy. I have all the information. It's not hard. You don't need to be intimidated. You don't have to be an expert. It's very, very simple, believe it or not. So I'd encourage you to contact me if you want to get involved in your area and you want to make a difference. We do have the lowest vaccination rate in the whole country in northern Idaho and eastern Washington. And a lot of people attribute that to my efforts, but I started 12 years ago. It's never too late. So get out there and save the children in your community. And that's about all I have to say. You can contact me through Vaccination Liberation at vaccinetruth.com. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you very much, Ingrid. And also thank you, Vicki. You know, and thank you for United We Light, Vicki.
Well, thank you.
What is United We Light?
Well, I wanted to thank Vicki as well. Vicki, I really appreciate the United We Light minute. I practice that. I have it programmed on my cell phone to go off. And my recent United We Light prayer concentration is Fukushima. I imagine, you know, like, remember that TV show, I Dream of Jeannie, how the genie would come, her smoke would come out of the bottle like that, and then she'd appear. Well, Fukushima has released this Godzilla monster creation on us, and so my United We Light minute is imagining that smoke like going, you know, back into the bottle like Genie did at Fukushima.
There you go.
And if more people can imagine that love that you talk about, I believe we can manifest a better world. So thank you.
Thank you all. And I just want to throw this in here, too, of you know, programming that alarm to go off. I had the pleasure of having my 9-year-old granddaughter stay with me for several months. Just went home a few weeks ago. And it was just so fun to watch because it didn't matter where we were. If grandma's phone went off at 5:59, she would just go, "It's prayer time." And it's like people would turn around at camps, you know, and they'd look at her like, "What is this?" And she'd start saying, "You got to come over. Come over. We're going to pray." And she was so excited because she feels she's a part of making the world a better place. And this is what we want to do, is we want to instill in these young people that they have that power. And there's a lot of young people out there, guys.
That's great. That's great. Vicki. Now, somebody else, Vicki, who you know, but I don't know if you've had a chance to say hi to yet, is Mike Chambers, who's helping with producing today. Thank you, Mike, also for all your great help today.
It's my pleasure to be here. And, Vicki, good to hear you and Ingrid both. And just tickled to death, as always, to have an opportunity to spend time with like-minded people. People that think the way I do. And it's a privilege and an honor for me to do that.
I think it's a terrifying thing, Mike.
That's a lot of work you guys are doing producing. I, you know, that's some grounds there that people, I don't think, recognize the importance of having the producers put this together. This is intense, isn't it?
But Rick, every time I've needed to hit a button, Rick has like hit it for me in advance, like he's psychic. Like, boom.
I'm sorry about that. It's like this disease I have.
I understand that
disease,
yes.
He's like got the psychic, he's got the psychic gift of remote producing.
No, I just like to press buttons.
He's good at pushing people.
Oh, what's that a button do?
Now, Vinny's coming from us.
The strike force team that needs to be reckoned with, I'll tell you.
Yes.
There you go. Now, Vinny, you're coming from the future, and you've also been attending some of those demonstrations and occupations out there. So thank you for all the hard work you do out in the streets, letting them have it.
Well, you know, the most fun part about being a megaphone is that everything you say is actually more amusing. No, I'm serious. I agree. Like I've got this friend named Penny Bright, and she's a professional protester. She's got the best banners in town, and knows all the information, attends all the council meetings, and basically is a seeker of scumbaggery, and find it she does, and then expose it she does. And when I say to her over a megaphone, "Penny Bright, you give professional protesters a bad name," it's much funnier than if I just say it normally.
Bad.
And now, I figured out something about myself and my show the other day, like the role that I play in the truth movement. A lot of people were talking about, oh, well, you got to wake people up. You got to wake people up. And my objective isn't to wake people up, actually. It's to just make fun of all this terrible stuff that all the people who are already awake know so that they don't go friggin' nuts.
There you go. We laughter is medicine, Denny.
Actually, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an important function on the... It's an important function on the battlefield to have some comic relief, you know.
Well, you provide
in
that.
England, they call it gallows humor in England, I think.
Well, it's whatever works. And, you know, I do little short seminars here and there. I catch myself, I don't intend to, and all of a sudden I have a room full of people and I'm talking and everyone's looking at me. And I go into this thing about the medications and people that are taking prescription drugs. And, you know, when you talk about humor, some of those commercials are downright hilarious if it weren't for the fact that they're killing people. But there's one out there, it's Lunesta, I believe. It's some sleep drug, right? And it shows this butterfly and this person going to sleep. Oh, it's great, you know, if you're somebody that has insomnia or something. Well, the side effects, when they get to the side effects, they start saying, okay, this could cause your throat to swell, your tongue to swell, your respiratory might shut down. If you notice any of these side effects, please call your doctor right away. Well, it's a sleeping pill. You're laying there sleeping, and these things start happening. You know, it's like, you know, people just roar because it's so ludicrous. It's ridiculous. But, yet yeah, people are out to buying the prescriptions. But, you know, it could cause you to die in your sleep, but call your doctor if you notice any of these signs. So, if you know, it is. You have to find some humor sometimes in some of this stuff just to reach people.
Well, do you make the call to your doctor after you die? Or, I mean, what is the deal, you know?
You leave a message.
On there, have your widow or widower call the doctor and let them know what happened.
Well, has he stopped taking the medication? No, I gave it to him again just on schedule. He's still dead.
Just open his tongue swells up.
yeah, well, and then unfortunately they won't be able to take any more medication, you know, so unfortunately
right.
We're going to have to bury them because we won't be able to give them any more meds now. Sorry, our income stream's dried up.
What's that account? That's everybody's an account that's on a prescription drug. You're just another account for them.
Yeah. Well, I really love the side effects pages, and they are pages, but they're all folded up into like this tiny little Tootsie Roll type bit of paper kind of thing that is incredibly tiny and like right down the bottom of the pack of medications, right? And you take them out and you kind of unfold it and you unfold it. It was like, there was a movie called Nightmare on Elm Street, and this guy was in the back of a van, and he's got this unfolded map, and they're trying to figure out where they are, and he keeps unfolding it and unfolding it and unfolding it endlessly until it actually fills up the entire van, and then it says on the map and right in the middle of it, you're screwed. That's what it was like unfolding the side effect panel, man. I'm 6'4", and it unfolded all the way to the ground.
It's crazy how they do that. You know, the some of the ones for like the asthma, it says, if you're on this asthma medication, try this new asthma medication. And the side effects is, well, it might cause asthma attacks.
Or like Viagra, if you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours, call a doctor. No, you better call neighbors, because that's the last erection you're ever going to have. They're dialing up, asking for help. Hey, Bob, can I borrow your wife? Never down to that. Forget the doctor.
See, you know, the community can be served by the use of pharmaceutical drugs, but it all depends on the individual.
Hey,
the community can be serviced, should I say.
Speaking of service, somebody who's our legal, lawful expert here, Charles, I want to get everybody in here before the time's up. And then, Vinny, we got a question. If you read down in the chat room, we got a question for you. But, Charles, thank you again for being part of this. Let folks know how they can get your information as well and any closing thoughts.
Well, I just like listening to Vinny. I mean, he's hilarious. But you can get my information. The book is AmericanFreedomBooks.com is the website. The book is American Freedom. First two chapters can be downloaded for free. And my closing thoughts are, it just seems like we're gaining momentum. I talked to my friend Holland Vananuinov from Oklahoma, and he's out there in the streets. I talk to Tea Parties sometimes, you know, co-opted Tea Parties. But Holland's out there in the streets, and he says people are really waking up. So that's good news.
That's very good news. You know, Vinny, here's a question for you from the chat room over at Wide Awake News from Charlie McGrath's group. Somebody over there, Anon, wants to know about what we do about smart meters. We've got too many dumb meters out there.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, and a sledgehammer would do it.
Yeah.
Okay, a sledgehammer.
Yeah, that'll work. Simple. Couple of swings, that puppy's going to be gone. You know, as soon as the meter maid comes down the road, you chase him after him with a sledgehammer. You say, don't come back there!
Although a login chain attached to a back of
keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Just knock yourself back into the Stone Age. It's okay.
Well, the main problem we have is the smartphones and smart meters. These things are smarter than the people now. That's a problem.
Yeah. Well, here's a bit of advice. When the when it hits the fan, all we've got to do, if we're being monitored, just swap phones. Everybody just swap phones. That'll throw them. You know, it's simple.
Yeah, but the call to your wife going to Charles might be a little.
Yeah, I just give my phone to my kids. Here you go.
Oh, gosh. That reminds me of a story we heard during the early days of cell phones. You could listen to them and monitor. You hear them on police scanners. And this one guy, you know, you hear him making a call home. Of course, you can only hear his. And he says, "Oh, honey, how are you? It's a terrible day. I've got to work late tonight. Don't know what time I'll be home. No, don't save dinner for me. Just kiss the kids. I'll see you in the morning." And so he hangs up. About 10 seconds elapses. You hear him dial the phone again. "Hey, baby, we're on for tonight. Be over in about 30 minutes.
That reminds me of the phone call that a local sheriff and his wife made to the county police office one time. They said, "We're in real trouble. We think we're going to die. We ate a lot of brownies made with marijuana, and everything's going really, really, really slowly, and I think that I might be about to die."
I've seen that video. It's a brilliant video. Yeah, that's a copper, isn't it? He's had a little bit too much weed. Didn't he get sacked?
Not enough,
I think.
No, he probably got promoted to chief, you know, drug inspector or something along those lines. All those guys are.
Yeah, his name is Eric Holder. He's the Attorney General of the United States.
He's probably working for the CIA, I expect, by now.
Or both.
We'll have to come up with a song called Confiscation Blues.
There you go, yeah.
Now, or Confiscation Green.
Matt, do you want to give any closing thoughts and everything today here?
Well, I am encouraged about a public awakening. You know, we do what we do at UnitedWeStrike.com, hoping to plant seeds into people's minds to help them become aware of the reality of the world. And perhaps what we do has made an impact. Even we just are that pebble that creates the ripple that spreads out over time. So if we continue planting seeds and being the activists that we are, we have the voices that we do. Look at us. We're all talk show hosts here, okay? We speak well in our own right. And if what we are doing is working and these occupying movements are organic and we can help educate people to make it more organic and have more participation in, then, you know, this is all very encouraging to me. I find it worthy of the time we've spent and the energy we've spent into this. And to be a part of this with such gifted people as yourself is very humbling, and I feel honored.
Yeah, well, you know, it has come together organically, and like the old protest signs say, don't panic, it's organic.
Right, and you know, one would like to think that this is working, to have hope.
Well, I think it's part of about sticking together and knowing that you're not alone, because that's part of the great propaganda, brainwash media sort of mindset that gets drafted on everybody from birth, that if you're alone, oh, there's nobody else like you, and you've got to fit in with the group and what have you. And the problem is that if you're the missing piece of the puzzle in your family or your community or something like that, believe me, there is a place for you to fit in, but it might not be in the current situation you're in, and you shouldn't keep remaining friends with people who don't support you or understand you. You know, there's now 7 billion people on the planet officially. So why exactly would you want to sit around with the same old people all day, every day, that don't inspire you, don't encourage you, and don't inform you about what the world really is and who you really are? Okay, because ultimately it's your responsibility to figure that out. Nobody else's. You've been put here to understand yourself and how you fit in. And it's not for anybody else to tell you or to teach you precisely how to do that.
Well, that's part of our mission here at UnitedWeStrike.com. Well said, Vinny. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Vinny, you've got people who are hoping you're going to pop into Charlie McGrath's chat room over there and wondering also if you're going to come visit us here in the not-so-United States.
The USSA. I would like to come, you know, just like I would have liked to go on holiday in Nazi Germany in 1938. I just miss the feeling of fisticuffs and having to show papers wherever I go kind of thing, and real ID just really gets me going. I love it.
Hey, we can send you a gold star.
Oh, well, that would be great. Perhaps by the time we get there, there'll be 50 red stars on the American flag. How many pentagrams can you fit into a flag, ladies and gentlemen? Apparently, there's only one flag with more. You know, and incidentally, the guy who rules the country has a collar around his suit jacket neck and cuffs around his wrists when he addresses the nation about how free they are.
Rick, are you still you're still working on voteforit.org? Are there any other sites you want to talk about? Because folks are listening to a disembodied voice, and I'm not sure they all know it's you. So you should speak up here. Let people know if there are sites they can get you.
Well, yeah, I've got many sites. I've got voteforit.org, which also hosts a section with the new United We Strike website format on. It also hosts Runnymede Radio, which is Judith, who was on earlier. And I also working on another project as well, which is a little bit hush-hush, which is all going to link up. It's going to link up with Judith and a couple of other projects as well. There's icradionetwork.com, which is trying to be a host to anybody who needs radio talk time. It's an open stream, so all we need is people who are willing to do a show and have the dedication to do it to sign up and do something there. There's longislandskywatch.com, which we're working on. I'm working with Cindy Pikulis. Was she on today? She was on, I think she was on
yes.
earlier. Yep.
Yes.
There's probably more. I probably can't think of them right there. There's a casefortreason.org.uk, which is probably the premier website, which I work with Albert Burgess, a retired policeman who's trying to raise awareness and get treason reported in every police station throughout the country. And if you want some information on exactly how the UK is involved with democratic organizations such as the EU, then there's the place to go, because we've got it all documented from start to finish. And it's shocking, you know, building that website certainly opened my eyes. I think that's most of the websites I run. There's probably one or two more there that I may not. There's some more coming out in the pipeline as well. But, yeah. There, that's roughly what I do.
Well, it's nice to have you back.
You've got UnitedWeStrike.com. That's going to change soon. Yeah. Well, it's good to be back.
Yes, we've missed you, Rick. You know, I know you're a busy guy and you've got family. And, you know, we appreciated your efforts previously because your efforts were nothing less than heroic to keep us on the air. And just to have your influence in here is a nice, you know, breath of fresh air. Karen, what are your thoughts on what's transpiring in our world? What's on your mind as far as a summary of how you're looking at life?
Well, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged because finally the apathy of Americans seems to be waning, and we really are taking to the streets. Now, not everyone out there knows why they are out there or what exactly is going on. However, the momentum is rising, and it's rising steadily. And there's a picture of an elderly gentleman, a World War II veteran, on taxfree15.com, who is out there, you know, with a placard around his neck, supporting us, supporting the people. There are pictures there of the Greeks. And while I don't condone violence, I know that defending ourselves is very important. And there is a shot there of a young man, a young Greek man, who is just punched a policeman in the helmet. He will probably suffer afterwards.
Oops.
But the spirit there, you know, if that young man will have that picture for the rest of his life to remember standing against tyranny, because when they come at us with the batons and with the spray and with the propaganda and the attitude that somehow we're wrong for actually standing up to them and telling them, hey, look, we're being stolen from here. You know, I think the police now are going to be facing a crisis of conscience. And I welcome that, you know, and military, too. Finally, I think that what we need to get, though, are more anti-war activists. Cindy Sheehan, actually, is going to be going now to Wall Street. She's going to be talking about it. I'll see if possibly we can get her on with a marathon. She was on one of them with us, and I'd love to hear from her again. But people all around the world are starting to really, I think it's kind of like a smell of blood in the water, you know, where there's sharks. But in this case, I think the sharks are us. The sharks are the people finally ready to stand up and tear into all this malfeasance that we've been captive.
We're not sharks, Karen. We're dogs. You can kick a dog 100 times, the dog's going to keep coming and loving you. But there's going to be a day when the dog has finally had enough of it, and that dog is going to bite, and we're about to bite.
Well, and that's good, too. And I know that it can't be all peaceful, but at least we're starting. We're starting to roll back the other way, and that is very encouraging. So I want to help people understand, to prepare themselves, regardless of what issue it is that you are focused on. We all have a bone then in this fight, and it's about time to rise to the occasion of protecting ourselves. So I'm happy to see it, and I'm hoping we can keep it real and keep it local. And if folks want to send money or they want to donate and they want to help the cause, turn around in your local neighborhood and see who could use it there. Make sure that if this is funded by the globalists, we don't have to participate in that, but maybe that $30 that you want to send would work better helping some family down the street who you know could use it. So there are ways to get around it, and I'm really, really hopeful that we're entering into a new phase where we can turn things around. But I know that it'll take time and that it's going to be worse before it gets better.
Yeah, and you know, I want to talk about the police, how they kind of lost their sense of humor. They don't have any kind of there's no sense of fun or happiness about them at all. I mean, when was the last time you saw the policeman give his baton a little twirl? You know, you don't see that anymore.
And well, not unless he's bashing heads.
Yeah. Set your baton to womp. Whoosh.
You got to remember. I mean, it's okay to badmouth police as a whole, but you've got to remember there's a lot of good people in all these organizations that are just they're sitting there, they're waiting for their time. And I think what's in our favor is really, really good because there's a lot of good people in organizations that we hate, and this goes throughout the UK, this goes throughout the world. Even the UN, even the EU, you know, there are people in there that are coming around to this, and they're going to be on our side. So, you know, don't necessarily think it's just us on our own. I think there's a lot of support coming, and I think it's going to be overwhelming.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
we
the,
had a
the problem with the police is right now is they're trained to be enforcement officers when they used to be peace officers.
And now they're piece of crap officers.
Yeah.
but we did have one exception in New Zealand on the anniversary of 9/11. We did have an English import officer, that we call them, a Bobby on the beat, come and sit and talk with us for a good 40 minutes or so. And he looked through all the information we had about 9/11, and he was very supportive of our cause and everything like that. It's a really great video. What was it called? Protesters convinced police 9/11 was an inside job. So yes. Protesters convinced police.
Good video, seen it. Yep.
A lovely guy, right? And, you know, unwittingly, it's the real nice people who just sit there and listen, and just because they're wearing a uniform, it piques everybody's interest up a lot more because they want to see that. This is the kind of police that everybody wants to see, but so rarely do. And that's what all the comments on it reflect, is that, oh, wow, I thought this might have been in America, but nah, obviously not. And, it's just real sad, man, because, like you said, they're no longer policemen. Policemen and police officers are two very, very different things. A policeman is a man, and a police officer is a corporate enforcement officer. Okay? Have you ever heard of a CEO?
Yeah.
Chief Executive Officer? No different from a police officer, ultimately, because they're the chief, and they execute orders on you with flair.
Well, initially it was protect and serve, you know, and now it's force and compel.
Hey, that would be great.
Oppress, isn't it?
I thought about great ideas about vandalizing police vehicles, like not in a nasty way or something, just like real funny vandalisms, like you replace the protect and serve with the bash and coerce, or you, or on
that'll
the front of
arrested.
The cars where they have the Ford logo or something like that, just put a Decepticon sticker on top of it, kind of thing, you know.
Well, I'm of the opinion we should really work to get the police forces on board with what we're doing, because it's very easy to make an enemy of them, and once you know if you make an enemy of them too quickly, then it's easy for them to differentiate you as the enemy, you know. You should just be very gentle in the approach to the police, I think. There's a lot of good people in the police force. I speak to a lot. Sometimes I go down to town on a Friday and Saturday night and just walk down there, and I'll spend the whole night just chatting to the police, and I'll just walk around, and that's my mission of the evening. And you can find some right idiots, but you can get some gems in there, and you can just drop a few seeds. And
I was going out drinking the other night, and I was out at maybe 3 a.m. or something like that. And sure enough, there's these two police officers walking down the road. And I said to them, I'd like to show you two something a little bit amusing, you know. It's not meant to be offensive. It's not anything bad, you know. It's just a little bit of humor to help you along with your evening patrols and whatnot. So I opened up my jacket, and my shirt says, "The police never think it's as funny as you do." And the... and the female cop had a different reaction from the male cop. Male cop kind of had a frown and a bit of a turn away. The female cop kind of had a big grin, and I said, "Ah, there we go. There's a big grin. Thank you, darling. Have a nice night." See, this is how you can enrich the public interaction with the cop. It's like, whenever anybody goes up to a cop, it's usually because something's wrong and they want their help and they demand them to do this, that, and the other, as opposed to just walking them up to them and say, "Hey, how's it going? Are you having trouble paying your rent and your petrol like everybody else?" "Well, yes I am." "Hmm. How do you feel about the fact that the government's going to force all the frontline staff to have inoculations that haven't been tested on humans yet?" And they go, "What?"
Oops.
did I say that out loud and not in a conspiratorial tone?
That's a good approach. No, I applaud both your efforts in that. And we do have to keep in mind these folks are able to wake up. And you know, I think in the end they would side on the part of the citizen. an example of that is this weekend, you know, the Occupy Portland rally. The police were very light-handed and cooperative with the organizers. The city didn't force the organizers to get a permit to march through the streets, which they did, which would normally incite the police to start bashing heads, and they didn't do that this time. Hopefully, this, you know, our tie-dye flower goodness that's kind of incorporated into this Occupy Portland movement, and perhaps around, you know, the rest of the country and around the world, is a good thing, and you know, it'll allow the cops then to treat us more like humans as their family, because their family's affected as well.
We had a suggestion at the Occupy Queen Street protest here in Auckland on October the 1st that we should have a new national holiday called the No Police State Day, or otherwise known as Fascism Free Day, where every police officer gets to have the day off to spend with their family. Breakfast in bed, baby. And everybody else is allowed to express their democratic rights for a change.
Might have got a little chaotic there.
And they also, they're so brainwashed, and they are definitely vaccinated. And who's to say that there isn't a specific vaccine given to the police to help them open up to the fact that they're really protecting their country by protecting it from the radicals who are demanding free speech? But forget that we're supposed to have free speech, because we have to protect you from that, because right now we've got the terrorists to look after.
Yeah, it's called it's called the steroids vaccine. You know,
pretty much.
Get that whole. Have you noticed that a lot of police officers don't have a neck? Like it's pretty much just a head on top of these big, broad, kind of oxen-like shoulders.
Well, they're from a lot of them from the service too. They come right back after banging doors down in Iraq and
they get PTSD,
getting used to that power.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they all come back with PTSD, a number of other issues, you know, that they've have come across while they're in Iraq or Afghanistan 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And so this, you know, that's an ongoing problem for folks. And they tune out and try to relate to the regular people of America. And in their minds, everybody is Haji. And we must kill Haji. Haji is bad. He's not from Johnny Quest.
Well, yeah, we have to just get them to understand, like David Icke points out, that the power is in the uniform. And that is who they are protecting, the New World Order. And when they take it off, they're subject to the exact same rules and regulations and brutality that they enforce upon other people when they're wearing it. They are not safe.
I was wondering if we should actually create, like, anti-New World Order police uniforms, something like that, you know, so you can sidle up to somebody and give them a, you know, spray vitamin C in their eyes or something like that, so they're not quite so ill. Or you can, I don't know, shoot a ray gun at their brain pan and then inject 9/11 was an inside job mind patterns into it or something like that, you know, it'd be great.
Hey, I miss most of that, but can I get one of those ray guns?
Hey, everybody needs a ray gun,
yeah,
okay?
Good.
It sounds like that gun that they had on, what was it called, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the empathy gun, you know? I could just imagine everybody suddenly being hit with a Vinny shot of the empathy rifle, you know? And everybody would just be pretty tripped out.
Well, better the Vinny Eastwood shot than the New World Order shot. Hell
yeah. I haven't got quite so many antibodies, you know. And that was something that I liked about Clint Richardson's new film, Poison of Lethal Injection, is that define the word antibody to me. Okay, it means you're against the body. So they inject something into you that creates stuff within you that's against you.
unless, of course, your name is Vinny Body, and then your auntie. That was corny. I know. I could have probably.
but what you have to understand, Vinny, is that originally it was for you before it was against you.
Oh yes. Of course. Yeah. As all the monster movies really are. Have you noticed that that's basically
just so
the main
misunderstood.
Have you noticed that that's the main theme of like movies these days is like everybody gets kind of betrayed from the inside from their leader and the people that they trust?
Yes.
No. Don't watch a lot of movies, sorry.
I watch a lot of them. And my mistress brings home new DVDs all the time. And you know what pretty much every single one of these movies has in common? They all have the same taste in floors. Black and white tile floor.
Blonde girls with big eyes.
Oh, I was going to say they were written by Hollywood. Oh, we were all wrong.
No, but have you noticed this? Like the Freemasonic black and white floor pattern design, it's in practically every movie. There's this daytime soap show called Rachel Ray Show or something like that. Her entire studio floor is a Masonic black and white tile pattern. You know, it's freaking everywhere, man. I can't believe.
Vinny. Dude, take some advice. Buy a color telly.
Okay, well then I'd still all see all the Freemason stuff all over it.
Then it'll be green and pyramid shaped.
No, honestly, it will. You know, you either see big eyes or big pyramids or black and white tile floors, or you see big spires, or you see Eyes of Ra, or you see propaganda. Like there was this show called Private Practice or something like that, and it was an episode where this woman wouldn't want to get her child vaccinated because one of her childs did get vaccinated and did go become autistic, and then the doctors, for her own good, forcibly vaccinated her child after they deceived her to go into another room after they locked the door, and then vaccinated him right in front of her through the glass. Okay? That's what's going on here with media programming and all of this sort of stuff. They just layer it all. It's on thick like a frickin' lacquered up wood floor.
That's why I didn't watch it.
You need to know what to look
programming.
For. Yeah,
well, that's why I can't watch even the evening news because it's all propaganda programming. Like I had to endure Anwar al-Awlaki getting killed for the third time. You know, I figured out the Fountain of Youth. I figured out how to live forever. You just had to join Al Qaeda and then they can kill you over and over again, and then you're still alive.
Yeah. Al Qaeda is the modern form of Jesus. He was dead, and then
that's
he was
it.
Resurrected.
That's it.
I mean, like
Osama.
You should knock the mainstream media too much, because at least the new media can keep our eyes on what propaganda the nation is being pumped with.
Yeah,
so we know, you know, it's a useful tool. So I won't really knock the old media too much. Because at least we know how they operate, and we can get our information sources, and you can get a better guide on what's coming along by looking at the mainstream media and going, oh, they're doing that, you know, they're going to shoot everybody.
Oh yeah, they report exactly what is going to happen to you, but they don't do it in context, sort of thing. You know, they say, "Oh, we're all going to become part of this European Union." And by the way, incidentally, the European Union was started off by Nazi Germany, and everybody's going to wind up being enslaved in a total police state, and we're going to kill everybody. And now here's Tom with the weather.
Yeah, but that entire paragraph that you just gave out just there took the BBC 30 years. So they broke it down bit by bit, each bit of that paragraph, you know? They put that into 30 years worth of bloody programming. That must
so
have been
even if they do tell you the truth, they're not going to tell you enough so it'll make a difference.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
By the way, Paul McCartney died in a car crash in 1966, and they replaced him with some Canadian dude. All right. And in another news story, off the coast of New Zealand, in one of our port cities, Tauranga, a giant 30,000-ton cargo ship has landed on the reef. and it is now pouring oil into the sea, drifting towards native, fish stock reserves and whatnot. And the answer is poor corrects at 9,500 on it. You know, it's like the robot. It's like the Robitussin of the environment now. You know, poor Robitussin, none. It'll get rid of it, man.
Well, a policy's changed now, isn't it? If oil's pouring into that place, then the U.S. Army need to go in there and bomb it so they can get the oil.
Well, allegedly, that's what happened in the Christchurch earthquake. We had lots of freaking military in town. We had the head of FEMA here. The head of Homeland Security here. We had nine U.S. congressmen here. But they all managed to get on a plane 2 hours before the quake hit and leave. One of them stayed behind, though. He was the head of FEMA, and then he took charge of the cleanup and operations after that. Pretty convenient timing, don't you think?
Well,
and also, there was a lot of rainbow clouds that were seen throughout the place, and about 40 reports in mainstream news of massive sonic booms coming through the air. And it's been a shaking rock in town ever since.
They must be high up because the plane didn't crash.
Yeah. But I feel that what's really happened in Christchurch is emphasized a lot of really different points. Number one, suicides have dropped to nothing, namely because everybody who's going to kill themselves already died. And number two...
they can't afford knives.
Number two, crime rates have dropped significantly, as in they've dropped by like something about 14-25% near on a year since the first quake happened. This whole emergency feel comes into the community, and they all start to look out for each other and watch after each other, and as a result, the whole community becomes closer together, hence safer. That's what happens in a big emergency. Didn't everybody, as soon as 9/11 happened, it started all going crazy, but then everybody just kind of came together and everybody felt a lot safer? Huh? United We Stand. Ever remember those songs being sung and everybody was like having hands on their chest and feeling all good together after a massive disaster? Brought everyone right up there. And perfectly with the Christchurch earthquake, this is in New Zealand, by the way, for those of you who don't know, massive like 7.6 earthquake in the second biggest city in the country. Done more damage to GDP. 180 or something like that. Okay. And for 3.5 weeks, we had absolutely no news except constant Christchurch media coverage. All the TV channels got hijacked. I couldn't even watch The Simpsons no more, man, because it was still news about the whole Christchurch earthquake. It's like, this piece of rubble fell down today. Look at it! Look at it! You know, go up to this person who's got a bit of blood on their head, and they go, oh, you've got a bit of blood on your head. Did you get hurt? It's just a stupid question. It's like, you're damn right I got hurt, asshole! Shut up! Unbelievable! The tedious, boring coverage, the things that don't really matter, and everything that I mentioned before, you know, about the Congress people and all of the ins and outs. We're also incidentally running a big emergency disaster drill that day, and 1,000 New Zealand troops were in town for the drill. Huh? You know, all of this stuff seems to really tie together. And guy named Trillian, who's a New Zealand musician, came up with a freaking amazing video on this. If you go on YouTube and you search up NZ Trillian, you'll see the video on that. Really, really awesome. Just breaks it down like that. Even does it in a rap to make it even more palatable for today's youth. And what's happened...
Do you think it was HARP related, HARP technology related? Because you got the Pine Gaps research base down there in Australia. So you have HARP technology down there.
There is a HARP facility not 20 kilometers from Christchurch City. And I had a conversation with one of my listeners down there, and on a spur of motivation, he actually jumped in his car and went down to that facility and took a whole bunch of photos of it and put it up online. And nobody had seen photos of it before. And here we go. You're just like down there with all the prowess of a three-legged cheetah backpack on his back, you know, diving over like incredibly crappy little fences that are only about knee height. You know, this is New Zealand, by the way. This isn't some fancy first world nation, you understand. Broadband internet is about 250k a second in New Zealand, if you're lucky. we're far enough behind to be ahead, though, I think. And as a result,
connect modems together.
Oh yeah. Got the same stuff. It's just basically not as fast and not as cheap. We've got the third highest internet and mobile charges in the OECD countries. We have 87% of our national debt being owed to foreigners. We have 40 million sheep and 4 million people. In some cases, 41 million sheep. But other than that, we're a pretty interesting, tiny little isolated country that is remote, but you can get from here to anywhere within 24 hours. And I feel that my part in the truth movement is just kind of like, because we're so far away at the other end of the world, we can still follow all the issues. And quite frankly, I do it in part for the New Zealanders who don't have any alternative media in this country, no real decent alternative media in this country, but also for the Americans who basically started this truth movement and started all this alternative media and started this Death to the New World Order march and have politicized it, turned it into a media grappling hook on people's minds and are capable of getting it out there. And I just try to do it from this end of the world to make sure that you guys are know that you're very well supported all around the world and the causes that you fight for, and you are not alone. We are everywhere. We are the 99%.
There you go, Vinny. Thank you very much, because you're also joining us from the future, and it's looking brighter over there. We appreciate everyone who's listening today. Again, thank you so much for the chat room there on wideawakenews.com. Thank you, Charles Irwin, for helping us know our rights. Thank you, Mike, for helping us with the producing today. Mike Chambers, stepping up to the plate. Thank you, Rick, for coming back in and helping us out. Thank you, Matt. And thank you, all the listeners, because this is really about you. We do this for you. We do this so that we can offer you real education, and you can come back and check these archives. The stream will be playing, I believe, right after this. Rick, is that going to work?
We're going to have as much as I've been able to piece together, we're going to have, I think Judith is going to be doing the piece on the Magna Carta here in the UK, is going to be the first part of it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go to a very inspirational tune, and after that, what everybody is going to may have to do is refresh their browser, and that, because we're going to switch from the Swiss hub to the UK hub, and the UK hub is patched together with gaffer tape, rubber bands, and blue tack at best. But it should be enough to it should be able to cope pretty well with the rebroadcast. However, I'm not sure that the order is completely pristine, but we do everything in our slot, so it shouldn't be too disruptive, so it should be okay. But we will have a rebroadcast on this channel in about 10 minutes, or 10 minutes from when we shut down the end of the book. From when we say, that's it, we're signing off, we'll have an inspirational message, and we'll be going. That was a bit long-winded. I could have said just yes, couldn't I?
All right. Now, tomorrow, though, I want to remind folks, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours, we have Musicians for Freedom, and we're going to have a special guest there. If you are a Ron Paul supporter, you will want to tune in. We've got Zach Carter. He was a U.S. Army veteran of Kosovo and Iraq. He made a YouTube. I'll put this in the chat room there for the Wide Awakers. And it actually got him kicked out of the service. He's now hitting the road with musicians, with patriotic musicians, with RockTheRevolutionTour.com. And Billy Blaze will be on tomorrow as well with J.D. Nehru. Next Sunday, Jordan Page. So we have live programming every Sunday now from 10 a.m. Pacific for 2 hours. So if you're into music, if you're into live radio, join us then. And I know, Vinny, it's a little bit early for you, but we hope that you'll wake up early and join us too. And thanks, everyone, for this United We Strike Marathon, which is now officially finished.
You're listening to the International Community Radio Network.
Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world. Unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible, and this threatens authority. You were born to be a revolutionary. You can't stand rules because in your heart you know there's a better way. You have strengths dangerous to the establishment, and it wants them eliminated. So your whole life you've been told your strengths were weaknesses. Now I'm telling you otherwise. Your impulsivity is a gift. Impulses are your key to the miraculous. Your distractibility is an artifact of your inspired creativity. Your mood swings reflect the natural pulse of life. They give you unstoppable energy when you're high, deep soulful insight when you're low. Diagnose the disorder. That's society's latest way to deny its own illness by pointing the finger at you. Your addictive personality is just a symptom of your vast, underused capacity for heroic creative expression and spiritual connection. Your utter lack of repression, your wide-eyed idealism, your unmitigated open mind. Didn't anyone ever tell you? These are the traits shared by the greatest pioneers and visionaries, innovators, revolutionaries, procrastinators, and drama queens. On the social scene, space cadets and mavericks, philosophers and derelicts, business suits flying fighter jets, football stars and sex addicts, celebrities with ADD, alcoholics who seek novelty, first responders, prophets and saints, mystics and changers. We substrate of the cosmos. It guides the very current of time and space. The way is known by some as the will of God, divine providence, the Holy Spirit, the implicate order, the Tao, reverse entropy, life force, but for now, we'll simply call it the way. The way is reflected in you as the source of your inspiration, the source of your passions, your wisdom, your enthusiasm, your intuition, your spiritual fire, love. The way takes the chaos out of the universe and breathes life into it, giving it divine order. The way, when expressed by the mind, is genius. When perceived through the eyes, is beauty. When felt through the senses, is grace. When allowed into the heart, is love. Of the flame. Wayseers have an unexplainable knack for just knowing the way. They sense it in their very being. They can't tell you why or how they arrived at the right answer. They just know it in their core. They can't show their work, so don't ask. Their minds simply resonate with the way. When the way is present, so are they.
blind to it, and society begs you to ignore it. The way stirs you inside. Neurological repression blocks most people's awareness of the way. Censoring all thoughts and impulses from the unconscious is their prefrontal cortex, the Gestapo of the brain. Nothing which violates its socialized programming even gets through. But your mind is different. Your mind has been cracked wide open to the way. By some miraculous genetic trait, some psychotropic chemical, or maybe even by the will of your own soul, your brain's reward pathways have been hijacked. Dopamine employed to overthrow the fascist dictatorship of your prefrontal cortex. Now your brain is free of repression. Your mind free of censorship. Your awareness exposed to the turbulent seas of the unconscious. Through this open doorway, divine light shines into your consciousness, showing you the way.
The population in this nation has been over the last, if you look in history, probably over the last 100 years, but really heavy in the last just 20 years. So recognizing that there was things wrong.
90% of human civilization is populated with those whose brains are blocked to the way. Their brains are hardwired to enforce the social programming indoctrinated since birth. Unlike you, they cannot break out of this programming. Because they have not yet experienced the necessary revolution of mind. These programmed people take social institutions and rules very seriously. Society is full of games programmed to keep people's minds occupied so they will not revolt. These games often cause sick fixations on peculiar protocols, power structures, taboos, and domination. All subtle forms of human bondage. This distinct form of madness is not only tolerated by the masses, but insisted upon. The programmed ones believe in rules so forcefully, they become willing to destroy anyone who violates them. Wayseers are the ones who call their bluff. Since wayseer minds are free to reject social programming, wayseers readily see these social institutions for what they are, imaginary games. Wayseers comfort the disturbed, and disturb the comfortable. Helping those who are lost in these games and refuse to help themselves is the calling of many wayseers. Since wayseers are the ones who keep contact with the original source of reality, they are able to disrupt societal conventions and even governments to realign humanity with the way. The wayseers are an ancient lineage, a kind of priesthood, carriers of the flame, ones in the know. There must always be wayseers to reform the dizzying, psychotic spinning wheels of society. Giant, mindless hamster wheels obscuring the pure blue sky.
Censorship.